The Veterans Report is sponsored by James Cannon.
Welcome to the Veterans Report, the region's only show dedicated to those who have served our country. We have the latest news and information on resources available to veterans, including health care, education, employment tips, local volunteer organizations, and more. To those who have served, those who are serving, and to those who will, we salute you. And now, the host of the Veterans Report, Jim Cannon.
Well, hi there, and welcome back to the Veterans Report. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening in here at KHB Radio. Just for your edification, if you want to catch the show online, you can go to KHB Radio. There's a link to listen live. You can also, if you can't do it today, you can listen later on theveteransreport.com. We have all the shows on there in sort of a podcast format, so you can jump on, you can check out the shows. Also, if you have time, if you have the inclination, if you are not afraid to jump into the black hole of social media, you can check out our Facebook page and the Twitter page. I am getting more and more comfortable with the whole Instagram thing. I had an issue with it. I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of doing the whole live broadcast video thing, whatever you call it. But you know, I'm getting there. So shaving off the curve with Instagram. I also want to, where are we here? I'm just getting my notes ready here, folks. Just getting my notes ready. Oh, so today, first of all, today I just want to say our guest is John Rickards with Operation Homefront. And Operation Homefront, and you're going to hear it. He's going to walk through what they do, how they spend the money, et cetera. Operation Homefront, basically, when you transition from military to civilian, right, when you get out of the service and you're getting back into the real world, sometimes you have issues, sort of stumbling blocks in terms of finances and housing and kind of getting back in the groove, right? Getting back in the real world. And so Operation Homefront helps sort of build that bridge, right? They're going to, if you're in dire straits financially, you can talk to them. And there's an application process you walk through. And John's going to get into all this, but they help primarily transitioning military folks sort of that first couple of years. And it's a great group. I also have to tell you, in terms of, you know, we've walked through a lot of nonprofits here, in terms of how they're spending their money, phenomenal. There are other groups out there. there's the one veterans group that shall remain nameless who had some issues a couple of years ago. Starts with a W, and they got slammed for not spending their money the right way, right? And that sort of highlighted a lot of these veterans groups and a lot of these veterans nonprofits and charities, and sort of shined the spotlight down on how the money is spent. Where does the money go, right? How do you break up that pie? And I remember a similar kind of thing right after 9/11 when people were going after the Red Cross and really, you know, hammering them, really putting the screws to them in terms of, you know, where does your money go? Why does so much go to the administration and salaries and this and that? And anyway, so the point is Operation Homefront's doing a great job in terms of how they spend the money. But I'm not going to steal John's thunder. I'm going to let him walk through all that. I also want to say hello and how are you to our friends at WTF Nation Radio. They are our friends, our partners, a great group of people. And I do want to walk through something from last night. But first, and it was courtesy of WTF, but first, I'm going to get the poll out of the way. Last week's poll, there is not a new poll up yet. There will be soon, within 24 hours. The poll from this week, though, had to do with, because we talked to our friends at Charity Navigator last week, and the poll had to do with nonprofits and people volunteering, right? So the question was, you know, there are thousands of veteran charities in the U.S., and they're all competing for donations and volunteers, resources. And some are very specialized and niche, like equine therapy, right? That's one that stands out, using horses. And others have a much wider mission. So the question was, are you currently active volunteering with, or volunteering for a veteran organization or charity in your area? yes or no? Just a general question, right? Sort of gauge how many people are involved. Not surprising. Personally, I don't think the results are surprising. 32% said yes, 68% said no. I don't know what the national trend is, because I'm not sure if anybody's done that in terms of, well, here's the overall vet population vice, here's how many people are volunteering. I think that would be impossible to do. But I'm assuming it's probably close. And I don't know. I mean, that's not bad, right? 32% of people are somehow, 32% of vets are still out there, not even vets, just 32% are out there involved and active with a particular veteran organization or charity. So not bad, right? Everybody's out there putting in their time, rolling up their sleeves, and doing the work. So thank you for everybody who chimed in on the poll. Thank you for doing that. And like I said, we'll have another one up within about 24 hours. So the issue was the veterans report needs a break every now and then. And last week, for about six days? It was 6 straight days. I and my companion were in St. Augustine, Florida. I don't know if you've ever been to St. Augustine. I got to tell you, it's about an hour south of Jacksonville, hour and a half south of Jacksonville. Beautiful, beautiful place. I mean, just the city itself. And I say a city. They call it a city too. I guess it was the first quote unquote city in the United States, right, or America. It goes back, I don't know, 400 years, 400 plus. It's not really a city so much as it is a really nice town, right on the water. But again, absolutely stunning. Just everything's manicured and it's clean. And they have like the little old town where it's sort of a throwback. It's almost like going to, Colonial Williamsburg, right? But they have trams, little trolleys that run through the town so you can catch it. Our hotel was about a mile, 3/4 of a mile from the actual center of the city. And so we would catch the little tram to ride down there. And it was great because we also consumed a lot of sangria. So there was that. But there's a lot of history there. They have an outpost, like an old fort that the Spanish used. And there was like hardcore combat in this town. There was they built a wall and a moat. The wall went down through the city. I think they said 2 miles from where the fort was at the water line, all the way down 2 miles. And some of the wall is still there. The gates are still there, and the fort's there. It's a part of the National Park Service now. But just a really neat place. There's a lot of stuff to see, but again, a ton of history. The Fountain of Youth is there. Flagler College, which is one of the, I've been all over the world. I've been to, crazy places and been all over Europe and been all over America. And Flagler College is one of the prettiest places I've ever seen. It's a beautiful campus, small little liberal arts college, but they do like quasi tours through it. So anyway, I'm going off. I'm reminiscing, right? I've only been home for a couple of days. So if you have a chance, go to St. Augustine. I will warn you, it's a little pricey. As the case with any tourist town, right? Any tourist area, you're going to pay through the nose for dinner. You're going to pay through the nose for drinks. And man, oh man, are you going to pay to do anything touristy? It's kind of like a grown-up Epcot, right? Or Disney. You're paying for everything. But again, great place, beautiful, wonderful time of year. The rain held off. There was supposed to be a tropical storm and only rained for about 2 hours the entire week. So. I'm making what I believe is a legitimate excuse for not having the poll question up there right now. So just go with it. So real briefly, again, as I mentioned, our friends at WTF Nation Radio, if you haven't listened, jump on and listen. They're awesome, awesome stuff. It's, it's good banter, but it's intelligent. It's intelligent and insightful. And no matter what branch you were in, no matter what era, you didn't even have to be a vet. You can just chime in, right? And you can just listen. It's fantastic stuff. But last night, and I'm not gonna elaborate on this because I want people to check this out. Last night, they brought up Bay Pines, Florida, the Bay Pines VA facility. And again, I'm not gonna walk through this. I don't want to spoil the surprise. If you have a chance, Google. Just go to Google and type in Bay Pines VA. Racism. your brain's going to melt. And this is especially timely, right? Especially timely, given everything that's going on with we were just talking about that, with Roseanne and what's the Joy Reid at MSNBC, and you know, the racism and the Twitter stuff going back and forth and all the craziness. So this Bay Pines thing dovetails nicely into that. So again, if you have time, Google that. Thanks to our friends at WTF Nation Radio. Manx, you did a great job. Everybody else on there, fantastic discussion. But and I appreciate being turned on to that, because I didn't even know that was going on. And it's been, that's been, what, 3 months? It's been going on for a couple of months. So yeah, this coming week, I'm going to reach out to some politicians and try to stoke that fire a little bit and say, hey, what, you know, you guys going to fix this or what? But I'm not telling you the whole story, because I want you to read it. I don't want to put any, I don't want to inject any bias or opinion into this story. You have to look at it, make your own judgment. But I know where my brain is on this. It needs to be addressed. So speaking of touristy things, this is a little more somber. I don't know if you heard that the Pearl Harbor's USS Arizona Memorial is closed indefinitely for repairs. The USS Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor, one of Hawaii's most popular tourist attractions, has been closed indefinitely for repairs. Boat transportation to the Arizona Memorial is temporarily suspended until further notice due to a recently detected crack in the supporting structure for the visitor loading ramp, according to a National Park Service statement on Facebook. Meanwhile, the National Park Service and the U.S. Navy are operating free boat tours of Pearl Harbor that pass close to the sunken battleship, where nearly 1,200 crew members are entombed. Free tour tickets are available at the Pearl Harbor Visitor Center on a first-come, first-served basis, beginning at 7 Hawaii Standard Time each morning. The floating memorial closed May 27th and follows two previous suspensions of tours because of safety concerns. The first in May of 2015. And so basically they have some, as the story indicates, they have a crack in the structure where the loading ramp goes down, right? So, and I read a follow-up that said that there's more than one. So the official story is that there's a crack, but I understand that there are more, and they're concerned because the way the cracks, what the cracks are indicating is it's not just a simple superficial thing. It's an actual, like, real deal, you know, Houston, we have a problem kind of thing. And so, you know, hopefully they don't have to rebuild that whole thing, because then it'll be closed for a lot longer than the time it would take just to, you know, repair a crack. So that's kind of a bummer. I've never been to the Pearl Harbor Memorial. I'm sure a lot of you have. And, you know, that's definitely on the list. It's not quite as close as St. Augustine, though. So I'll get to it. And I don't know if you saw this. A retired Marine Corps colonel, right? Vietnam vet, retired Marine Corps colonel, Robert Gibson, passed away. He died in Annandale, Virginia. Passed away December 26th, 2017. Well, apparently his obituary, which just for some reason just made it to the media, which I think is kind of odd. He basically slammed the drivers in Washington, D.C. And, oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, so part of the obituary. Here's the quote from the obituary. A native of Northern Virginia for the last 30 years of his life, he hated how all of you were incapable of driving competently, reads the obituary for Colonel Robert F. Gibson, Falcon, 77, who died in Annandale. And it appeared, so they just ran this. I don't know why they would do that. It just appeared, I can't even speak. It just appeared in an edition of the Washington Post. Gibson spent 30 years serving as an officer in the Marines. He was awarded the Legion of Merit with Gold Star, Bronze Star with Combat Distinguishing Device, Meritorious Service Medal, and the Combat Action Ribbon during his distinguished career. Gibson's widow, Barbara, told WTOP's news partner, NBC Washington, that her family wanted to capture a part of his daily life. Quote, "It's a general sentiment," she means his resentment toward the drivers, "it's a general sentiment a lot of folks have," she told the station. "He traveled on the Beltway, and traffic is horrendous." I love it. "He hated how all of you were incapable of driving competently." You know, I am just salty enough that I would love to have something like that included in my obituary. How awesome would that be? Hey, on the way out, I'm going to let you all know what I think of your driving. So kudos to the Colonel for... And if you've ever driven in D.C., it is a... I don't think torture adequately describes it. It's a... It really is... It tests the human spirit. It transcends anything that you will see while you walk the earth. It's the most grueling thing I have ever experienced. And I'm not making that up. Driving in D.C. Like, you try to get out somewhere on, say, a Friday, right? You would have to leave at, be on the freeway. I don't mean leave work, leave your house. I mean be on the freeway easily be on there by 1:30. That was the end of the window, right? Maybe 1. Not a holiday weekend, right? Just a regular Friday. If you weren't on the road by about 1:30 at the absolute latest, it would take you 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, to get far enough outside D.C. that you were going faster than 35. It's awful. It is awful. So when people talk about, when Trump talks about draining the swamp, I'm not, it would be nice if he would start with all of the people who clog up the roads there. Now, I did read an article the other day that's, I think it was this morning, as a matter of fact, the other day. See, I'm getting old. That according to the latest numbers, since Trump has taken office, there are 24,000 fewer federal jobs. Now, that's not just in D.C. That's just, across the board. But I'll tell you what, if he can make that kind of a dent in, a year and a half? If he starts ramping this up, I mean, he could take a real bite out of D.C. and hopefully reduce some of the traffic there, because there's no excuse for it. Some of those roads are like 4 and 5 lanes wide, and you will sit there and sit there and sit there, and it's going nowhere. And you know what, though? That's emblematic, and it's perfect. It syncs up perfectly with what that city is. It's emblematic of Washington, D.C. A whole ton of stuff, right? All these resources, all these people, right? All this potential sitting there doing nothing. Welcome to the nation's capital. So, anyway, kudos to Colonel Gibson for taking that parting shot at the drivers in D.C. because it is horrible. And it doesn't matter if you're from out of town either. It doesn't matter how great a driver you... And, it's not even the drivers. I don't even think it's the individuals in each car, because I know a lot of the people were, just regular people. It's just the way the city is, and it's disgusting. Oh, so one other thing, and you might see this on the Veterans Report Twitter page. Coca-Cola decided to do a promotion with the USO. Right? Cool. Right? You think, oh man, Coca-Cola, the USO, right? USO is a great group. I mean, for their mission, they are. Coke is a huge company. Coke has done a lot of stuff over the years to help the military and vets, and they are. I mean, they're legitimately. So they did this promotion where they were putting out these special cans, and they had these silhouettes. And they're red cans with... I don't know how you describe it. Like I say, yeah, silhouettes, right? And it's like silhouettes of people saluting, right? I'm going to see if I can find a picture of this thing. I think I put it on So anyway, so they have these things labeled, right? And one says, what was it? One said like Navy, and one said, oh, here we go. Here. So one says sailor, and it's got a silhouette of a sailor saluting. One says hero. One says airman. One says veteran. And one says Coast Guardsman. That's it. Let me read those again. Sailor, hero, airman, veteran, Coast Guardsman. And this is supposed to be a salute to the military. You might have noticed a little bit of a gap there in terms of who they left out. Yeah, you miss the Army and you miss the Marine Corps, but you have hero and veteran in there. And weird, too. Weird graphics. Like, on the one that says hero, looks like a... I can't tell if it's a guy or a girl. Whoever it is, the thing saluting has a beret with a big star right in the middle of it. Looks like something out of the Congo from the 70s. And then you have one that says veteran, clearly supposed to be a Marine Corps cover. Right, dress blues cover. It's white. I mean, well, they're all white. It's clearly supposed to be a jarhead, right? But it just says veteran. Also has the weird star smack dab in the middle. You know, like some old East German foot soldier. It looks, just a big fail. Just a big fail all around for Coke. So hopefully they rectify this and, maybe put the other two branches in there. Just throwing that out there. I mean, that's cool to use hero and veteran. I don't knock them for that. That's nice. That's a nice sentiment. But I don't know how you leave out the Marine Corps and the Army. Probably some young, new marketing grad who had this great idea and everybody ran with it and nobody stopped to go, oh, hey. But you know what? You'd think at some point the USO would have to look at the boards on this before it went anywhere. And you'd think they'd say, hey, you might not want to leave out, two branches. Whatever. What do I know, right? Anyway, big fail. So I'm still not switching to Pepsi, though. I think Pepsi's horrible. So Eric Greitens. We've talked about our buddy Eric Greitens. Former SEAL, right? Lieutenant Commander Eric Greitens, former Navy SEAL. Serving as the governor of Missouri. He got elected in 2016, right, with the the Trump tide that went in there. Well, you know, Greitens has sort of done himself in. He had the affair with the hairdresser, and then there was something about he took a picture of her in a compromising, whatever, pose or stage of undress or whatever it was, and then it turned into this whole blackmail thing, and she was going to go public, and he said, if you do that, I'm going to release the picture. And, from my standpoint, if I were the hairdresser, I would have said, well, okay, release the picture. I'm a hairdresser. I might start getting more clients. But, there was an investigation, with the state police, and I think it was the FBI. And anyway, fast forward, right, Greitens kept saying, I'm not going to, even the Republicans in Missouri were demanding that he resign, and he was pushing back saying, I'm not going to do it. So, it was the FBI, yeah. So he ended up resigning, and the lieutenant governor was sworn in Friday afternoon. And that guy is 62 years old. His last name is, Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson was sworn in. And he is going to serve out Greitens' term, which runs until 2021. And in a wonderful surprise twist, before Greitens resigned, he signed 77 pieces of legislation. One of which, you ready for this? Huh? You ready? One of those bills, I don't want to blow it. Come on, I had the notes on this too. I had tears in my eyes reading this. I read this whole thing about, the resignation and the swearing in, and I was crying when I read this. Come on. Where is it? One of the bills he signed. Oh, it's killing me. Let's see here. Well, one of them had to do with revenge porn. It was. Oh, it's killing me. I had the notes. You'll have to look it up. If you have a minute, look it up. One of the bills had to do with ramping up the penalties for revenge porn. Yeah, that's one of the bills he signed on his way out after threatening to blackmail his lover with revenge porn. You can't make this stuff up. It's like a sitcom. So, but yeah, good stuff. Great story. So, good luck to the lieutenant commander in whatever he decides to do with his life. Hopefully he does not run for office again. I think he learned his lesson this time. Or maybe not. Who knows? You know, SEALs are a rather stubborn bunch. Hard-headed, clearly. So he was gonna fight till the very end. They threatened to hit him with, I think it was multiple felonies and impeachment, and that's why he decided to step down. So he did the right thing in the end, you know, but it's sad that it got to that point where he was sort of forced to make the right decision. I mean, that's not exactly the definition of integrity there, Commander. So we'll see what happens. But I thought that was, that's not even, that supersedes the word irony, right? The guy leaves because of revenge porn and signs a bill outlawing revenge porn. So there's that. Anyway. So yeah, like I said, our guest at the halfway mark in a couple of minutes is John Rickards with Operation Homefront. And as I explained earlier, Operation Homefront helps transitioning military when they run into any kind of sort of obstacles in terms of getting back in their lane as a civilian. So it's a great group. They spend their money wisely, and John's going to walk through all of that. So hang in there. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back right after this.
If you want to keep up with the latest in veteran news away from the radio, stop by our website at www.theveteransreport.com. There you'll find news headlines, along with links to media outlets around the world. You can also find links to every state's veteran services office. And for you film buffs, there's even a link to a war movie database. We appreciate you stopping by the Facebook page at facebook.com/theveteransreport. There, like the website, you'll find the latest news and information related to veterans. For you high-speed individuals who want to limit yourself to 140 characters, stop by our Twitter account. It's a great way to find information on veteran organizations throughout the country and what they're up to. You can tweet us by using @TheVetsReport. If you'd like to email the show directly, please send us your input, comments, or suggestions to editor@TheVeteransReport.com. Thanks again for checking out our pages. Thanks for listening, and thank you for supporting our veterans community.
And welcome back to the Veterans Report. Appreciate you sticking around. As promised at the top of the hour, we have with us our guest today. We have with us John Rickards. John is the area manager responsible for Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey, which is a huge, massive area, for Operation Homefront. He's responsible for fundraising, programs, events, outreach, along with finding and maintaining volunteers to help him in his mission, but also get the word out about Operation Homefront and what they do in helping our military families while on active duty or while transitioning after service. And more importantly to this audience, John is a retired Navy Chief Petty Officer and also a Blue Star father raised and living in Southeast Pennsylvania. John, how are you?
Well, I'm doing very well, Jim. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure. And I appreciate your continued service to the military and our veterans. It doesn't seem to end once we get out of uniform.
No, it shouldn't end once we're in service for life when we put our hands in the air.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. So Operation Home, and I know you're busy because you're covering pretty much a quarter of the country. But so Operation Homefront, give me a little bit of background. What is Operation Homefront? What do you do? What's your mission?
Well, Operation Homefront is a national 501(c) nonprofit organization that started in 2002. We are broken into six different regions, but we're headquartered in San Antonio, Texas. And out here in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and Northeast, we're considered Region 3. And again, Operation Homefront, our mission is to build strong, stable, and secure military families so they can thrive, not simply struggle to get by in the communities that they've worked so hard to protect. So that's not just a synopsis. That is our mission statement, and that's what we do on a daily basis.
So when now, get a little more into detail. When you say military families, are you talking about people who are still on active duty or people who have separated from the service or both?
Well, when we first started out, it was really started by a few military spouses who were really starting to understand or did understand how when the other spouse was deployed, how much need there was still back on the home front, all right? So they put this together, and it's grown since 2002 into the organization it is now, which is a national organization. But, you know, we serve primarily, started out to serve the post 9/11 active duty and veteran population. And now that we're into 2018, we're really looking at helping the transitioning veteran and the active duty family that's currently on active duty from E1 to E6 in the enlisted ranks, or the wounded warrior as well. Any of the wounded are always eligible for our programs, but primarily when we're dealing with active duty folks, we're dealing with E1 through E6. And in some cases, in certain parts of the country, along with here in the Pennsylvania area, we're dealing also with veterans who have been out of active duty status for up to 7 years, and that includes our reserves and our National Guard programs.
So, with a focus on the lower enlisted, I mean, what drives that? Is it lack of education on their part? I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean, is there a gap somewhere?
Well, I think primarily, I think back to my own experience and that of my son who's still on active duty now. And I, if I'm not mistaken, you've got a military background as well, correct?
Correct, yes.
Well, you remember when you were an E-nobody?
I try to forget those days, John.
Well, do you remember how much money we used to make?
I remember spending a lot more than we made. Yes, I do.
Possibly true, and just think what it is for the. And again, I started my life, married outside of, once I joined the military, I married within 6 months, and started a family 2 years later. So I know how difficult it was at the time to make ends meet. And sometimes, as you know, some of our enlisted folks can get a little misguided from time to time in their finances and need some help. But in other times, it's just a matter of. A husband and wife with two children living on E3 pay may get a little difficult. Not that we're there to bail them out on a monthly basis, but when there is a problem, we do have a critical assistance, financial assistance program that they can literally contact us, apply for, and it is a process. And in most cases, we can help them out in several different ways in regards to helping them with a possible or a problem that they're currently going through.
So
I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it certainly does, and I was hoping we could get into more specifics on the actual programs or the services.
Well, we have so many programs. There's, Operation Homefront is based on a couple different things in regards to how we run everything. And again, we have the way we look at it, we have four different things that we kind of focus on. And again, it's always about fundraising when you're working in the nonprofit world, okay? But we have programs, and these programs that we have are outreach programs where we are helping our military families throughout the year with things like, let's see, give you an example. For instance, Military Child of the Year. We support family members or military families. And we host an annual program where we're looking for feedback throughout the country to find these special kids, right? And we recognize them once a year in Washington, D.C. We have programs where we have homes on the home front, for instance, where we have we are literally giving a deserving veteran a mortgage-free home. all right, and up to date. I mean, you know, we've been doing this since 2012. I guess we've given away, I guess this year we should give our 500th home away. And again, they have to prove that they can handle this obligation. But again, it is a mortgage-free home to a deserving veteran, and it is an application process. We also have transitional housing villages in three parts of the country currently, in Texas, in San Diego, and in the Washington area. We also have programs that help the spouses of our caregivers, because we recognize the fact that with so many returning veterans, there are lots who are in need of constant caregiving, and the spouse is the one who is always the assumed one who's taking care of that. So we have programs to support those spouses as well, and all these programs, again, rely on partnerships and donations and a lot of work. Twice a year throughout the country, we have programs where we help military families help their children get back to school, and you know, we know that there's an awful lot of money that's put out every year by a family to get a child ready to go back to school, and whether that's clothing and supplies or, you know, whatever, we help them with the supplies by getting people to donate backpacks and partnerships with Dollar Tree stores throughout the country, where we're asking people at the cash register, or I should say the Dollar Tree employees are asking if they want to donate the Operation Homefront and our Back to School Brigade. And again, we rely on those partnerships to supply all these things for our families. And the families come to us in a registered event. At least, you know, here in Pennsylvania, we do it in Pittsburgh at the commissary in Coriopolis. And we do it also, here in southeast Pennsylvania with the Air National Guard, as well as a big event over in Fort Dix, New Jersey, where last year, I believe, we gave away 750 backpacks that were stuffed to the gills with everything a child would need to go back to school. And one other program that we do holiday meals for military, where, again, we rely on donors to supply us with enough non-perishable food to go into a bag, so to speak, a very decorative bag, I might add, along with a gift card. And normally we rely on people like Walmart, things like that, to supply us with gift cards so that these families can get the non-perishable food and a gift card to take care of a turkey or a ham around the holidays, and it supplies just about everything they would need for that one big meal. And I know last year, I think we gave away 204 dicks, and I mean, a lot more around the country. And that's just some of the programs we do. I just got done a Star-Spangled Baby Shower program where we gave 75 expectant military moms over in Fort Dix, New Jersey, just about everything they would need to get started with a new baby. And I know ultimately all the donors combined, all the in-kind and people who gave us products and everything to give to these folks, it was quite a big deal. And it was just under $1,000 worth of goods went to each one of those families. So it's a big deal, and it's just another way to help these military families who just need a little extra. And, again, we're not supporting them, you know, with paychecks, mind you, but we're giving them that little extra a couple times a year so that they can feel, you know, a part of something, especially when they're disconnected from possible family from the other side of the country or whatever. So we try to be their family that they don't have here locally.
So, and that is phenomenal, and those numbers are pretty incredible. I mean, it's not every day that you can get people to donate that volume, especially with that dollar value. So, John, you mentioned a bunch of partnerships. I know that you have one with, and this is near and dear to the Pittsburgh hearts, but, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of recent vets and a lot of people still on active duty are really into physical fitness, and they spend a lot of time in GNC. You have a partnership with them, don't you?
Yes, I don't know how new it is, but I know that we are currently going through a program where GNC is asking their patrons to donate at the cash register. I think it's the 5, 10, 20 program. I think that's what they're calling it. But I know that's bringing in an awful lot of cash donation right now to help us in all of our different programs. And, again, that's really what's important to us, that we have some flexibility, because with just things I mentioned before the conversation here in regards to our transitional housing and the homes from the home front in regards to mortgage-free homes, this is all backed by donor dollars. So there's no taxpaying money in here. It's all donations. And again, we're very, very proud of the fact that 92 cents out of every dollar that's donated goes directly to our military families. So, you know, when you're looking for a military organization to support, you take a look at us, take a look at our website, and I'll certainly give you that address. But you'll see that we're in the top 1% in Charity Navigator, which means that we are reputable, and it's our means to exist. And because of that, we have pretty good credibility when we're out seeking these dollars. And I know that once a person takes a look at our financials and gets a chance to really understand what we're doing, they understand. And when I ask people if they've ever heard of Operation Homefront, 9 times out of 10, unless they've had some interaction with us, they don't see us on a regular basis. But we don't get the opportunity, because of that 92 cents on every dollar, to advertise. We have to rely on outreach opportunities. And again, being on the radio with you today, Jim, is huge, because your listenership, is going to get an idea of Operation Homefront. If it drives 4 or 5 people to the internet and they look up operationhomefront.org, they're going to get a chance to really get a chance to see what's really being done for our recent veterans. And again, when I say recent veterans, we've got an awful lot of veterans in our country, and in your area, Allegheny County specifically, and Philadelphia County, the two largest counties in the state of Pennsylvania with the veteran population. So it's pretty important that the vets do understand that we're out there to support them. And that's what Operation Homefront's all about. And when it gets down to who we can help and who we can't, we draw the lines at the transitioning veteran who's been off active duty no more than 7 years. So we figure at the 7-year mark, they have their act together and they probably don't need the help at this point. And if they still do need the help, they've got the VA and things like that to rely on if that's the situation.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point. Now, do you have partnerships or alliances or I don't know the right word, with other veteran-related organizations? I mean, there are 40,000 of them in the country, so everyone seems to have a niche. But, I mean, do you have relationships with some of the existing groups?
Well, I'm sure we do. I just know that, for instance, Wounded Warrior is a large organization that we all see on television. I know that Wounded Warrior, has helped us in the past in regards to giving us money to do some things that they can't do. So they have the resources to help us fund some of our programs. And I believe they, in the past, they've helped us with our critical financial assistance program, because that's not what they do. We have caseworkers who literally will take a phone call and an application and work through that to try to help that veteran, with, back taxes or help with rent payments and make arrangements with an electric company or utility company to give them a break for a couple of months while they're working their way out of a problem they may be having, or fixing a car, that they need to get to work, things like that. That's what that's for, and it's critical. It used to be called emergency assistance, but now we call it critical assistance. So that's just one that I can think of in regards to Wounded Warrior, but all of the different veteran organizations kind of refer back and forth, and we all try to learn each other's programs, but it's sort of impossible. But you said it, there's way more than 40,000 smaller .orgs out there, of everything from people who are training service dogs as a .org, or some people who are working food pantries for veterans. They're out there, and all those .orgs are out there seeking the same dollars as we do. But they're seeking more on a local basis, and we're seeking, we're seeking larger donations, nationally and regionally. And believe me, we don't turn any money down. We allow people to donate right from our website, as little as $5. So it's all out there. But again, that's one of the priorities is obviously funding all the programs that we do. And And we're, you know, we're a national organization, but we're relatively small because we only have about 100 employees nationwide spread out across country.
I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask about your setup, because a lot of the bigger groups, the, you know, the sort of national VSOs and you know, nonprofits, they have sort of a centralized location from which they spider web out and they work from that. But then they, you know, they go out, they come back in, they sort of retract. You guys are spread out everywhere, right? I mean, you're in the grass.
Well, we're out there in the weeds. You're right. And again, I volunteered for Operation Homefront while I was working in the civilian world in the marketing business and corporate world, and I gave my time just to attend events and pass out brochures and try to do some outreach for Operation Homefront, as well as, you know, doing some work for some of our holiday programs and picking up toys and picking up, you know, back to school supplies at Dollar Tree locations throughout my area. But you know, when I was asked to take a full-time position, what I didn't realize was that there was only three of us in 10 states, from Delaware up through Maine, that are on the payroll, so to speak. So a director and two area managers. And we are responsible for making it all happen. And we touch as many people as we can, but we don't have the resources without volunteers to do more. And again, that's one of my main objectives, is to build a volunteer base that is knowledgeable about our programs and that are willing to go out into the public and speak on our behalf and solicit donations if possible, and just let people know. Because one of the things that people may not realize is that there are a lot of veterans that don't know about us that need our help. And again, without us being able to advertise, the only way they get to know that there is a resource out there that they may not know about if they're in need is to know about us. And again, if they don't, they go without. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. So I have to seek donations. And in my case, I live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So in Bucks County, I've run into some donors who said, I'm willing to give a large amount of money, but it has to stay right here in Bucks County. Well, if I have too many people that want to just keep their money in Bucks County, I'm going to need more veterans to be able to help. And I know they're here, but I don't know they don't know that I'm available to help them. So without advertising, it relies on outreach. And that's what I'm doing with my volunteers. And quite frankly, I've had a really good success in the in Western Pennsylvania so far, building a good volunteer team out there. And I'm very happy for the response I've had so far out there.
Well, and I do think it lends a lot more credibility, you know, both in terms of the spending that you mentioned, the 92%, and then you guys actually being out there, being visible, being tangible. People can approach you. People can reach you. They can contact you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, sometimes it's a little overwhelming. I can tell you that because, you know, people can go on our website and ask for help, and it automatically comes to me. And there are, you know, there's a large percentage of people that I can't help. But it's up to me to learn the other resources that are available to them, starting with their, you know, their county government and military affairs, you know, to help them. And the biggest fear I have is that a person gives up after they've gone to two or three different sources and I've been turned down, and it happens a lot. And, you know, again, I've been here personally. I've only been in this position for a year, and right now I'm still full of compassion. Maybe 5 or 6 years from now I may not be. I hope to stay compassionate, but there's just so much of a need out there. And again, I mean, if I have a World War II vet or a Vietnam vet call in seeking help, and I can't help them, I can't help them through our programs. I can only help them with what I've learned in my, you know, 20 some odd years of full-time military service and what I've learned so far, you know, as a civilian, as to what resources are available to them, and help them that way.
So you, and real briefly, but you relayed a story to me at one point about getting a volunteer to help unload a truck. And it's that kind of networking and sort of working the system that you do every day, right?
Well, you know, in the Navy, we always had somebody in every squadron or every unit that we would consider a scrounger, all right? And that's a person who could, you know, the commanding officer would say, we need this done, and somehow or another, it just got done. So as an example, for our baby shower we had just on May 11th, I had a warehouse. My office is doubles as a warehouse, and I had 75 cribs and changing tables stuffed in my warehouse where normally they would have been shipped to Fort Dix, New Jersey. And the donor couldn't do it this year. They had to give it to us early. And so the problem was trying to logistically get it to Fort Dix with no budget. So with the help of Walmart in central Pennsylvania, mind you, they donated a 48-foot tractor trailer and a driver, all right, who I put up overnight. It was easy. That was much easier than renting a truck. And then I had to find a forklift driver and a forklift. So believe me, by hook or by crook, all that was taken care of. And I found a local guy down the alley from me who, you know, again, was willing to, you know, utilize one of his employees and a forklift to load a 48-foot trailer and send it to Fort Dix. So, you know, that is immeasurable. I mean, the cost on that, you know, would have probably been around, you know, $2,500 to pay for that service. And that's the kind of stuff me, you know, the scrounger, has to try to figure out how to do. And if I told you how I did it, I'd probably be arrested. But, you know, it was a pretty cool thing, and it worked out great. And now I have forged a great friendship with someone who is a pro-veteran person who, you know, who will be there in the future if I need that help again. So it's all about relationships and being honest about what you do and why you need it. And when it comes to our veterans, everybody right now wants to help, and they just don't know how. And it's not just about giving money. Sometimes it's about physically doing something.
No, and absolutely, and that's why I wanted to walk through that. So
we have volunteers that do all sorts of things for us, and it's really amazing that they're willing to take the time out of their busy days to do that. And a lot of times, I'll take a phone call from a veteran who's seeking help, and when I get a chance to actually talk to that veteran, I'll turn around and turn that veteran into a volunteer. Or I have a very good volunteer who was actually one of the recipients of a mortgage-free home. So, you know, he wants to give back because he's a disabled veteran. He does not work for a living. He's surviving, you know, solely on disability. And he has a mortgage-free house with no, he doesn't have to pay taxes in Pennsylvania as well. So he has the time. He doesn't always have the physical ability to do things because he is disabled, but he's willing to be out there and represent us. And that's what it's all about. But you wouldn't know that they were there unless you ask. So for me, my prior experience in the military was, you know, was recruiting in the Naval Reserve. So I know that you don't get unless you ask. So it's all about seeking people and recognizing someone has potential to be involved in this program and get something out of it as well.
Have you seen any kind of uptick or change, I guess I should say, uptick or downward trend in the number of people seeking assistance?
I think there's – I'm not totally privy to all that. I don't quite understand how the ebbs and flows go, but I know that that we are – the amount of applications we take – we have to cut off. So there's still more need than there is availability. So let's put it that way. That's national. I don't know anything specific about Pennsylvania per se, but there's a huge need out there, and we do have all sorts of numbers to show what we do. And a lot of those numbers, I believe, are available on the website if you investigate our website. So, you know, in regards to really what we're handing out and what we're giving in regards to critical assistance when it comes to financial support.
The key to this whole thing, I guess, at the end of the day, people can help, they can get involved, and they can make a difference by participating. And that starts with going to your website, right?
Well, everything's on our website in regards to, you know, this is Region 3. So, I mean, there are Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey is listed, you know, on the website as a specific region. But, you know, again, any of your listeners who look into, you know, operationhomefront.org, take a look around. If nothing else, at the bottom of every page is a subscribe to our newsletter to give you an idea of what we're really doing on a monthly basis. And you can always like us on Facebook as well. We have a very, very, very good Facebook presence, and it'll really show you what we're doing. And again, you know, my job is to get volunteers. So in your area of the state, I'm starting to build a really nice group. And, you know, those who are interested in volunteering can click Get Involved on our homepage, and it'll take you through the process. And eventually you'll be introduced to me in an email, unless you want to call me direct. And I have no problem giving out the telephone number. And you can always call me at area code 267-721-3385. That's a direct line to me. And I will help you as much as I can, whether you're looking for help or you just want to get involved with us, and I'll set you up as well as I can.
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on the show and walking through everything, all the good things you folks are doing, especially in your area.
Everybody wants to help.
Everybody does want to help. So hopefully this will gin up more volunteers for you.
Well, thank you very, very much, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity. Anytime I can get a chance to get our word out as to what we're doing, even though we only had a few minutes to do it, I'm available at length at any time.
Absolutely. We'll definitely have you back in the future to walk back through this. It's really good stuff, Sean.
I'll be out at one of your Pitt games in Pittsburgh later in the fall for football. So they always give us a Military Appreciation Day out there, and that's set up by some of our volunteers out there as well. So it gives me a chance to come out, stand out in the field, wave to everybody, and they put us up on the big board.
That'll be great, because you need the publicity, right?
Yes, we do.
All right. John Records, area manager, responsible for a massive swath of the U.S., Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, for Operation Homefront. Also, retired Navy Chief Petty Officer and Blue Star Father. Thanks so much, John.
There you go, Jim. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody.
And that does it for this episode of The Veterans Report. Until next time, I'm your host, Jim Cannon.
You've been listening to The Veterans Report. Let others know about the show. You can find us online at theveteransreport.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to editor@theveteransreport.com. Join us again at the same time for up-to-date veterans news and information. The Veterans Report. Thank you for your service, and carry on.
The Veterans Report has been sponsored by James Cannon.